All right, we want to welcome everyone to the Wayne County Bible Center this September 5th, 2021. And we are continuing our study on Matthew 11, 28 through 30, where Jesus says to come unto me. This is probably the fifth message, I believe, on these three verses. So if you have missed any of those, and if you're listening on the website and missed any of those, please go back and try to pick them up so you can get the fullness of the study on these landmark verses or these landmark statements that our Lord and Savior made. So I'm going to read them to you, and our focus today is going to be on the last phrase in verse 30, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So we're looking at a message entitled "The Yoke of Jesus." Matthew 11 verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." We studied what that rest was, that initial rest that you get when you get saved, when you know you're all right, when the burden is lifted, and you come to Jesus by faith. And Lehman, 20-something years ago, you told me you felt like that release came. And you know, we've all felt that at the moment of salvation. In verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you." And we studied the yoke and the oxen and how there was always a lead ox, and a younger ox would be yoked with him. And that leadership would train the younger ox. And the yokes of that time were made of wood. So Jesus, as a carpenter, made many yokes when he was young and as he was coming up. "And learn of me." The "of" in the Greek is also "of me" and "from me." "For I am meek and lowly in heart." We studied that last week. The Lord is affable. He's accepting. He's not judgmental. He's not condemning. But yet he does not compromise his righteousness. He told the woman caught in adultery, "You know, I don't condemn you, but go and sin no more." Amen. You know, and so you can't leave that part out. It's huge. The Lord loves me, but he does not compromise his righteousness. You know, he convicts me of my sin. I'm in a love relationship with the Lord, but I'm under his authority. I'm to submit unto his authority. And then he goes on to say, "And you shall find rest unto your souls." That was the second rest, the abiding rest, as we walk in our daily relationship with him, learning of him and learning from him. And now we come to today's verse and today's sermon. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as I come unto you today, I ask you to, first of all, forgive me of my sins. The sins I commit every day, the sins I've committed throughout this week that I confess to you throughout the week, that I've gone back over and confessed in that office this morning. Father, I want to thank you that John says, if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to cleanse us of our unrighteousness. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us of all sin. And so, Father, I ask and I know that you will cleanse me, that you have cleansed me. And I ask to be anointed and filled with your Spirit in a spirit of humility by which I can wash the people's feet as a servant here in this room and those that listen to this website. Father, we thank you for the truth of the Word of God. And Father, we pray for many throughout our nation, throughout the world. We pray, Lord Jesus, for your comfort and your provision. We have folks that have lost loved ones, that have lost possessions in floods and storms and fires, in the pestilence of this virus. In the cruelty that exists in Afghanistan and other places, where Christians, innocent children are being martyred and tortured. We pray, Father, for this world. And Father, this world needs to look to You. This nation needs to look to You. And Father, we can all say, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. We will look to You in repentance. And Father, I pray for a national repentance as Daniel did in captivity in Babylon. But Holy Spirit, lead us today as You're saying, come unto Me. Come unto Me. So Father, we thank You and we praise You. Holy Spirit, lead us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Matthew 11, verse 30. Jesus says this, for My yoke is easy and My burden is light. Verse 28, He says, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, under the burden of the rabbinical ordinances that had been added to the Mosaic law. And we'll look at that briefly again in a moment. But let me give you the Greek here where Jesus says, My yoke is easy. New Testament written in Greek, Old Testament in Hebrew originally. And He says here, My yoke is easy. In the Greek, that is the word krestos, C-H-R-E-S-T-O-S. And it really doesn't mean easy. It means to be useful, beneficial, helpful, profitable, and good. So what Jesus is saying, when you become in yoked with Me, it's something that's good, it's profitable, it's beneficial, it's yokeful. You go through your life no longer alone, but you go through your life in yoked, in partnership with Me, in relationship with Me, and you don't have to face anything by yourself. You don't have to face anything alone. You know, Dolan, I've heard people say to me at times, you know, Brother Leo, I'm lonely, and there may be a day I say that, But what I want to say to the child of God is this. You are never alone. Amen. Once Jesus enters into your heart, He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And so you've got this foundational relationship. And He says, when you become in yoked with Me, My presence enters into your life by the power and indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So you have My consolation, My guidance, My comfort, My strength. And so it's entirely different from being in yoked with the legalities of the Mosaic law. So notice what He says. He says, My yoke. So the question today is, what is the yoke of Jesus? And before we answer that, we're going to review quickly what the term yoke meant metaphorically in a religious sense. So, go with me to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. The Jews of the day knew exactly what He was talking about, what He was speaking of. And in Acts chapter 15, verse 1, the Scripture says this. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. So now they're adding a work to grace. They're adding that you have to be circumcised to be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem to a council under the apostles and elders and raise this question. Verse 5, when they got there, there rose up a certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed Jesus was Messiah. But they were saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Now I want you to understand something. There were 613 commandments in the law of Moses. That's hanging a lot of stuff on these people. that's hanging a lot of stuff on anybody. This is the stuff Jesus was bringing them out of by grace and faith. And all Jesus is saying, come unto me, come unto me. And then notice what the scripture says in verse 7. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up, said, men and brethren, God chose me to preach to the Gentiles, and by my mouth they heard the word of the gospel, and they believed. And God, which knows the heart, bare them witness, giving unto them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us, the Jews that believed, and them, the Gentiles that believed, purifying their hearts by faith. What did he say? God knows the heart. When he sees a heart that has faith and commitment unto Jesus Christ, what does God do? He sends the Holy Spirit down from heaven and he indwells the heart. Very simple. Amen. Very simple. And so, in verse 10, now therefore, why tempt ye God, and here we go, to put a yoke upon the neck of these disciples? A yoke, which neither our fathers, going back to the days of Moses, nor we, the Jewish folks living 2,000 years ago during the days of Jesus, were able to bear or to carry. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we Jews shall be saved and Gentiles shall be saved. So it's God's grace and our faith that saves us without the yoke of circumcision or the Mosaic law. So what did they call it in religious terms back then? Paul was speaking a very common term there. You know what they call the law? That when you were under the law, you were under the yoke of the law. When you were under the teaching of Gamaliel, you were under the yoke of Gamaliel. When you were under the teaching of Nicodemus, you were under the yoke of Nicodemus. So, in rabbinical terms, a yoke represents, now write this down, a certain set of teachings, requirements, and expectations within a religious system. A yoke represents a certain set of teachings, requirements, and expectations within a religious system or under a certain religious teacher, whether it was a rabbi or a Pharisee or someone in a synagogue. That's what the yoke represented. It was a certain set of teachings, requirements, and expectations. So go back with me to Matthew 23. Matthew 23, and I want to show you the yoke that these people were under when Jesus stands up in the midst of them and he says, hey, just come unto me. You know, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Just come unto me. And that's the message, and we've lost that message. Matthew 23, verse 4, it says this. For they, the Pharisees, well, go back to verse 2. The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. You know, they're the religious experts. They're the ones that are exerting authority over the people during the days of the Lord. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and they lay them on men's shoulders like a yoke. And they don't even keep the rules that they're making up, Jesus is saying. Go to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. In Matthew 15, verse 9, it says this, but in vain do they worship me, teaching for God's doctrines, the commandments of men. And in verse 3 it says, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? I just told you a moment ago there were 613 commandments in the Mosaic Law. A few hundred of them are considered positive commands. A few hundred are considered negative commands. I was reading a Messianic Jewish teacher last week, and he was kind of commenting on what I'm teaching on today. And he said there were also 600 addendums, additions, just concerning the Sabbath day. Just concerning the Sabbath day. So Jesus goes up to all these people, Cameron, and he says, hey, you want to go to heaven? Just come unto me. You want a victorious life? Just come unto me. And so what were these people having to do? They were carrying a tremendous amount of religious baggage. Can you imagine that? 613 commandments. Can you imagine the ceremonial laws, the rabbinical teachings in the synagogues, the temple sacrifices, the holy days, the weeks they were having to keep? All of these good, they were good because they pointed to the coming of Messiah. However, they had become overbearing and overburdening. And I want you to understand that's the same thing that's going on today. There are so many people that have so much religious baggage, they can't find Jesus. I mean, there are churches in America meeting today, and they're doing this, and they're doing that, and they got the choir robes on, and they got the pipe organs going, and they got the doxology singing, and they got the guys with the robes on, and they got all this going on, and I was in it for many years, and the bottom line, they do this, they do that, they talk about this, they talk about that, but it ain't nobody lifting up the name of Jesus. And if you've lost the simplicity of coming unto Jesus, you've lost it all. Amen. That's the message. That's what he presented. And he said, come unto me. Go with me to Galatians chapter 5. What is a yoke? A yoke is a set of teachings, requirements, a set of instructions made up by a religious system or within a religious system. In Galatians 5 verse 1, these people were hanging this on all the Christians. Galatians 5 verse 1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And be not entangled again, there's that word, with the yoke of bondage. There's that word again. And what's the yoke? Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you have to be circumcised to be saved, then just having a relationship with Christ profits you nothing. People tell me all the time, well, Brother Leo, you got to be baptized. Person's got to be baptized. Person does not have to be baptized to be saved. You get saved by God's grace based on your faith. He imparts to you the Holy Spirit. Baptism is a first work following your salvation to tell the world publicly that I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. So when I get baptized, I'm telling the world, look, I got saved last week or last month or last year, and I'm coming forward to tell you that as I go down, that's my old life, and that as I come up, I've been given a new life in Christ. So symbolically and publicly, I'm telling you I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. As my fellow Carolinian said, Billy Graham, he would say, we ask you to come publicly because Jesus Christ died publicly for your sins. And Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father in heaven. So the Holy Spirit leads you to publicly acknowledge Jesus. People say all the time, Brother Leo, well, my religion is private. Your religion might be private, but if you have a true relationship with Jesus Christ, it is not private. The Holy Spirit leads you not only to glorify God, but to use your relationship to tell others about the Lord. And let me tell you something, none of us would be saved today if, starting with the apostles, everybody kept their religion private. That's anti-biblical. And it's against the truth, and it's a lie of the devil. And so what we see here, look at what he says. Verse 3, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. He said, if you're going to keep one part of the law, you got to keep the whole part of the law. People get mad at me all the time. They say, you don't teach the tithe? You know, I have people in my church that quit tithing because they heard Leo Doyle. He doesn't teach the tithe. Tithe's part of the Old Testament law. So if you're going to teach the tithe in a New Testament church, you got to teach the whole law according to this one verse. Yeah. Well, and how do you get people to give? Preachers ask me that all the time. How do you guys? I said, I don't get anybody to give. Well, and how does your church make it? I said, I guess God puts on people's hearts to put money into two boxes we got hidden in our church. You don't pass an offering plate? No. We don't pass an offering plate because I think the devil uses that. He turns people. The first thing you do, any church I was ever in, before I ever got up to preach, they pass the offering plate first. So I felt like we were telling folks, you're making them think that their money's more important than hearing the Word of God. And you know, the deacons in both my churches never let me stop having that. I wanted to stop passing the offering plate. Well, what were you going to do? We're just going to put a box somewhere in the church. You know, and Cleo, one of the greatest things, and we've been here a long time, folks will come, and they'll come for weeks, and they'll come up to me, and they'll say, how do you give money to this church? So what? All you got to do is trust God. If He wants the door open, He'll keep it open. If He wants me to keep preaching, I'll keep preaching. But the bottom line is you and yoke people. You put burdens on their backs. And the Lord, He changed all that, and you're going to see it in a moment. Verse 4, Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are justified by the law. If you think you got to do works of the law to be justified, then you have fallen away from the teaching that you are justified by God's grace and by God's free gift of salvation. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness, which is only by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision gives you anything nor uncircumcision gives you anything. The only thing that gives you anything is faith, which works by love. And so they were in yoke. Look at what he says, verse 1. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So, what is the yoke of Jesus Christ? Jesus says, come unto me. Come unto me and take my yoke upon you. So it would be a certain set of teachings and requirements and expectations that are of Jesus Christ. So let's look. Go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. What is he telling these people? When you take my yoke upon you, what do you have to do? In John chapter 6, verse 26, Jesus answered the crowd that followed him. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perishes. You know, if you're going to work, don't work for the meat that perishes, but work for the meat which will endure unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. And then they said, all right, what will we do? What is the work that we need to do that are the works of God? And Jesus answered unto them and said, this is the work of God, that you believe on whom he has sent. You got to believe in me. You got to believe I'm Messiah. You got to believe I'm Savior. You got to believe I'm Redeemer. And you got to believe I'm Son of God. That's all you got to do. You got to believe. That word pistos, though, in the Greek, it means not only to believe about, but to believe in, to place your trust in, to make a commitment to. So you've got to believe about me, and you've got to believe in me. Verse 38, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Verse 40, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which sees the Son, which has the Son of God presented unto them, and believes on him, makes a commitment to him, puts his faith in him, will have everlasting life. Now you got to understand that Greek word pistos. It's not believing just a set of facts about Jesus. Like you would believe a set of facts about a historical figure, George Washington, Abe Lincoln. Pistos means to believe about, and it means to believe in, and it means to make a commitment to. So, and I use this illustration all the time. We know this is a chair sitting down here at this table next to Miss Betty. It's an empty chair. I believe the facts about that chair. I believe what the purpose of that chair is. But I put my faith in that chair every time I go to sit in it. You know, I take that step. I believe I can sit in that chair and I'll be okay. And it's the same way with Jesus. I believe I can put my life in his hands and I'll be okay. Amen. And that's what salvation is all about. And there are a lot of people that believe, oh yeah, I believe in God. That's not what I'm saying. We get all of these surveys out in the secular media. You know, 70% of America believes in God. Billy Graham believes 70% of the church membership is going to hell. You know, so 75%. You know, the parable of the four loaves, the four soils. Only one of those soils was saved. So what we've got to understand, it comes down to a commitment in Jesus Christ. But what is the yoke of Jesus? Number one, to have faith in Jesus. Go with me to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, what's another teaching that Jesus said was part of his yoke? Take my yoke upon you. In Matthew 22, verse 35, it says this, then one of them, which was a lawyer, a Pharisee, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So what's Jesus saying here? Jesus is saying, if you take my yoke upon you, you are to come into a love relationship with me. A personal relationship of intimacy by which you love me and you commit yourself to me and you love me with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and you make me your priority relationship, and all your other relationships flow from that. And you can look at it as if your relationship with Jesus is the priority relationship that's above and all your relationships are below it. Or you can look at it as if your relationship with Jesus is the foundation relationship of your life and all your other relationships spring out of it. But the bottom line is this, you'll never have a relationship with a spouse. You'll never have a relationship with a husband. With a child, with friends, with anyone. If you don't first have the fullness of a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're going to miss out on the fullness of all those other relationships. But once you have a relationship with Jesus, it makes all those other ones beautiful. It makes all those other ones beautiful. You say, well, Brother Leo, you know, I'm saved and this person's saved and we don't get along. Well, those things are going to happen because not everyone's walking in the will of God. You can be saved and not be in the will of God, not be seeking the will of God. And like I've said before, a lot of, you know, we've all got this baggage. Some folks deal with their baggage, some folks don't, and they'll carry it to the grave. But if you'll turn to God and let these things go, or the other person will, you can see the beauty of all these relationships. But the first one, look at what it says. You're going to love the Lord thy God. The second one, as a result of that, you'll love others. you'll love others. Amen. You know, if there's someone that is not reciprocating your love as a child of God, it's because they're messed up in the first one. You know, and sometimes all you can do is pray for those folks. You know, just pray for them. Keep loving them and praying for them. I had a dad talk to me a couple of weeks ago over a controversy with an email from one daughter to another daughter, and the two daughters hadn't spoken to him in years because of the stands that he takes, and he was sharing me all this stuff, and he said, I didn't even send it to this daughter, and she said, you know, attack me and all this. He goes, how do you think I ought to respond? I said, do you love her? And he said, yeah. I said, I would just respond back and say, hey, I love you. I love you. And I hope one day, you know, we can be at peace with one another. And he looked at me and he said, yeah, I can say that. I said, it's truth, right? I know you love him. Yeah. Just because someone might be treating us, you know, we don't have to quit loving them. And as we keep our relationship up with Jesus, his love will be an outflow unto others. And that's why I said, so this is a requirement. Faith, you got to believe in me. You got to be in a loving relationship with me to the point where you are going to love others. You know, I got a dear friend in Charleston, just retired. He said, Leah, when are you going to retire? I said, I don't think I'm going to retire. He goes, why is that? I said, because I don't really work, you know. Work one day a week for about an hour. Can't beat this gig. Why should I retire? I didn't tell him that. Now I said, I love my people. And I do. I love my people. Yeah. I can't see myself not being with you folks. I mean, you're my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I'm no different than you are. My gift is I'm the one that gets to do the teaching, but we're all part of the family of God, and we're all part of the body of Christ, and there's this closeness and this unity that would break my heart if I wasn't here. So I'm not going to not be a part of this by choice. You know, you cannot be a part of this because of your health or some other issue, but just to turn and walk away from love, you know, why would you do that? You know, why would you do that? And so that's part of the yoke of Jesus. Go with me to John 13. Go with me to John 13. You know, he gives us commandments. John 13, verse 34, it says this. John 13, verse 34, he says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another, or love one to another. So, the yoke of Jesus has faith in it. It's got God's grace in it. And it's got God's love in it. And our love for one another. And then go to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. And in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, he says this. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me. Well, Brother Leo, where do we see that phrase? We've been preaching it for 5 weeks. Come unto me. Come after me. So what do I do when I come after Jesus? When I come unto Jesus, if any man will, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. So what does it mean when I take the yoke of Jesus upon me, Lehman? I die to self and I live unto Christ, as Paul said. I make a commitment at that point that I am no longer going to live my life for self. I'm going to live it for Jesus. And I'm going to allow Him to call the shots in my life and to be the authority in my life. So it involves faith, it involves love, it involves commitment. And you know what we're called? We're called the bride of Christ, because your marriages involve the same thing. It involves faith, it involves love, and it involves commitment. So when you become enyoked in your marriage together, it's the same thing as becoming enyoked with Jesus Christ. And that's why we're called the bride of Christ. And He is the leader and the guider of our life. John summed it up. Go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. This is what the yoke of Jesus is all about. It's His teachings, His instructions, His expectations. Take My yoke upon you. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 1, he says this: whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That's pretty simple. When you make that faith commitment, you're born again. You're born of God. And everyone that loves Him that begat, love Him also that is begotten of Him. Then you have the Holy Spirit shed abroad in your heart, Romans chapter 5, where the love of God is shed abroad in your heart. So there's faith, there's love. By this we know that we love the children of God. There it is, the second commandment. We love others when we love God and keep His commandments. What commandments? I had a guy send me something this week in the mail. And he used that verse. He goes, that's the Ten Commandments. That's not the Ten Commandments. Those are Jesus' commandments. Well, we don't have to keep the Ten Commandments. Yeah, they're the moral law of God. That's common sense. If I'm loving God, I'm going to keep His commandments, or try to, in the power of the Spirit. That'll be the key here to the burden being light in a moment. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous and burdensome and heavy. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Here we go again. Who is he that overcomes the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Verse 10. He that believes on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believes not God hath made him a liar, because he believes not the record that God gave us of his Son. In the beginning was the Word became flesh. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is only in his Son. He that has the Son has life, and he that doesn't have the Son of God has not life. Come unto me. Come unto me. How many religions do we have today that just hang ordinance after ordinance after ordinance, ritual after ritual after ritual, this after this after this? And you know, they talk about Roman Catholicism. There's a lot of Protestantism, and it's just crowded out the come unto me message of Jesus Christ. You know, it's like I told that conference of pastors in Brevard, North Carolina. I just want to have a Jesus Sunday. You know, it's about the 10th Sunday in a row. In a Monday meeting, I was giving all the pamphlets. This is, Baptist Retirement Fund Sunday. This is Lottie Moon Sunday, Annie Armstrong Sunday. This is Baptist State Mission Sunday. This is Baptist this Sunday. Yes, brother. Can next Sunday we just have a Jesus Sunday? You got any pamphlets on that? And I'm not saying religion doesn't do a lot of good. I mean, I was ordained Southern Baptist. I was saved in a Southern Baptist church. I'm just saying, Jesus first, your religion second. Don't flip it. You know, just make sure Jesus is first, because religions do a lot of good in the world. And there are good pastors in every religion. There are good saved people in every religion, you know, that worships Jesus. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying we've got a lot of situations where he's been pushed out the back door. And that needs to be corrected, because I'm going to tell you something. If we were powerful, if the church was powerful in America, we wouldn't be where we are. You know, We're incredibly weak. The morality of America has gone down the tubes. And we want to blame the secular movement. We better look in the mirror and look at ourselves. But what we need people all over America that have a living, vibrant, personal relationship with Jesus Christ, where they're experiencing His power. So He says His burdens are, His commandments are not grievous. So Jesus goes on to say that my burden is light. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. So why is the burden light compared to the burden that was going on with Judaism? Well, let me show you just a couple of Old Testament scriptures, and we're going to need to close out in a moment. Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31. And Jesus is fulfilling this. In Jeremiah 31, verse 33, he says this, "But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel, Messiah. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts. I will write it in their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me." Yeah. So when Jesus is saying, "Come unto me, I am He," what He is saying is, I will know you. You will know me in a personal relationship. I will put my power in your heart. I will put my love in your heart. I will put my guidance, my counsel. And so the advantage they were going to have in a relationship with Jesus, opposed to being on their own under the teachings of the rabbis and the law, was they were going to experience three things: the presence of God, the strength of the Holy Spirit, the joy of the Lord, all of this in them. John 14, 20, Jesus said, "I in you." And that's why He was saying, "Come unto me." You know, I was told a while back that somebody said something on the internet about how hard it was to live the Christian life. I want you to understand something, my friend. It's hard being under the law. When you're in the Spirit, the Spirit is empowering you. The Spirit is strengthening you. The Spirit is giving you guidance. The Spirit will give you peace. Paul said, "My outward man perishes every day." He says, "I'm in persecution. I'm under distress. They're stoning me." 2 Corinthians 4:16. "But my inward man is renewed day by day." And what did Jesus say at the Feast of the Tabernacle? "Come unto me and drink of the living water every day." If you're drying up, it's because you're not going to the fountain. Yeah, and that's the bottom line. Just going to church every Sunday, that is not going to cut it. People say that all the time. "Well, I go to church." Well, that's good. Devil's got a bunch of folk. Devil goes to church. You know, the bottom line is this: you've got to have a daily relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's not a question of, am I going to make time to get with the Lord every morning before I go out the door? Or am I going to make time to get alone with the Lord in the evening, you know, to read a little bit of a psalm, to read a devotional, to pray to the Lord, to talk to Him? If you don't do that, you are not going to renew yourself inwardly. And if Jesus Christ set that example in His humanity, where it said He departed before sunrise, went to the mountain to pray. You know, we got half a dozen times the gospel writers recorded that so that we would know. And before He faced Calvary, where did He go? Gethsemane, to get alone with the Lord and to get alone with God the Father and pray. My friend, I don't know what you're facing today, but you better get into Gethsemane to find the strength and the wisdom and the comfort, and the Lord will turn any kind of defeat you're facing into a victory. But you got to get along with it. And so Jesus is transitioning these people from the outward to the inward. from the flesh to the spirit, and from the law to grace. And so he says, come unto me. And just like he said, come unto me. I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Take all those personal pronouns. Here we're seeing them again. I will make the covenant. I will put my laws in their hearts. I will write it in their hearts. I will be their God. I will know them, and they will know me. Your relationship with Jesus Christ is the most personal thing you're ever going to enjoy. And you know, it's not even a sin to run a weed eater outside of church on a Sunday morning. I want you to know that. That's not a sin. Oh, that's not even a sin. Go with me to Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36. I'm going to close out with this one. In Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25, here we go again. This is what he says. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you. That's baptism, brother. No. That can't be. That's a christening, brother. No. That didn't say some preacher's going to sprinkle you. That's saying God himself. That's an inward work. That's the living water. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness. I will cleanse you, and look at this, a new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you. Verse 27, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk obediently. I'm going to tell you something. That's why those people were burdened down. That's why those people never felt like they measured up. They were trying to do it on their own. Yes. And Jesus saying, come unto me, I'll give you strength. I'm going to give you my spirit after I raise myself from the dead. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are holy and are heavy laden. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. I read an author this week that wrote about 200 years ago, and he wrote on this particular verse of Scripture. And in the Greek, that word easy means that it is useful, profitable, needful. The yoke of Jesus doesn't break us down, it builds us up. And so he described it this way. Christ's yoke is like feathers on a bird, not like a load of stones on a burro's back. Now how powerful is that? Christ's yoke is like feathers on a bird, not like a load of stones on a burro's back. Now, what are feathers on a bird? They have some weight to them, but they're light. But they're profitable. They allow the bird to fly and to soar. They protect him. They keep him warm. They camouflage. They allow him to be identified within his species or within his group. The birds of a feather, the feathers of a bird are profitable. They're useful and they're good. And they are needful for a bird to survive. So the yoke of Jesus is like feathers on a bird, not like a load of stones on a burro's back. Think of a load of stones on a burro's back, overloaded, and the little burro is trying to go uphill. Well, that's a lot of folks in church today. Yeah. A bird, well, what does he do? He sings. We got a few birds around our property. Every morning they cut loose, man. I'm Miss Jane at the first crack of dawn. I know this. I know what time it is. I mean, they are faithful. And they bust open and I'll say, creation's praising you this morning, Jesus. And you got two kinds of people in church in America today. They're either like the feathers of a bird, or they're carrying stones on their back like an overloaded burrow. And that's why Jesus said, come unto me, all you that are laboring or heavy laden, I will give you rest. Any system of works and legalism is a heavy burden. We feel they are unrealistic expectations. It results in failure, frustration, never measuring up, never feeling good enough. There is no joy, no assurance, no personal confidence, no inward presence of God. And so Jesus says, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. This world is going to wear you out every day. We're in a fallen world. We got two strikes against us. Number one, we're in a fallen world, and the prince of the air controls it, as God allows him. And then number two, we've got our fallen human nature that we were born with, our carnality. Paul calls it the body of this death. Paul said, how long am I going to have to drag around the body of this death? I have a desire to depart and go be with Jesus. So we got two strikes against us. But then we've got the very power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ living in us by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Paul says the power that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Now, when he was on that cross, every sin, every disease, every decay, every judgment, every condemnation for all of humanity was laid on him. He took it, he died with it, and his power rose again and gained victory over it. So if that power's living in me, I can be renewed every day. I can run and not be weary. I can walk and not faint. I can have joy and strength and peace above and beyond. But I got to get along with the Lord and commune to receive it, to unleash it. And that's the beautiful thing of our relationship with Jesus. And so what did the Lord tell me this morning when I got up? He said, come unto me. He said, you got to preach today. You better come unto me. What's he going to tell me tomorrow morning? You got this, 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 and this going on in your life. Come unto me. Yeah. Come unto me, Jonathan. Come unto me, Mary. Come unto me. You say, Brother Leo, man, I just don't know. Well, let me tell you one thing I do know. The devil will let you come to church every Sunday of the year. Yeah. But he will fight you tooth and nail if you start trying to get along with Jesus. Yeah. I mean, the pipe in the basement will break. The devil knows there's power in the children of God that get along with Jesus. And so that's what the Lord said. Come unto me. Fellowship with me. What's he say? I stand, I knock at you. If you open the door, I'll come sit down and eat with you. Lehman, how many times have we had such a good time eating together? You know, I remember the first time we went to dinner together. You were scared to go with me. I don't know if you were scared. You didn't want to go out with no preacher. And we went to Linda and had them catfish. Yeah. You remember that? It was catfish steaks.
Yeah, we come back to the house. The ball game was only one. You jumped up.
Yeah, that was the Redskins. Yeah. Yeah. I jumped higher last night when Georgia beat Clemson. I'll tell you that. Oh, Dabo, Dabo, Dabo. You're going to have to start whining early this year to make it in the Final Four. But don't let me get off my topic. Come unto me. Come unto me. And I will give you rest. And you know, you can fill in those blanks. He'll give us strength. He'll give us peace. And he'll give us guidance. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for a few moments. And I'm going to ask you to take this opportunity to just get along with Jesus. And just say, Lord Jesus, I want you to help me to come unto you consistently, Lord, so that I can gain all that you want to give me. Lord, you want to give me some guidance in this area and some comfort and some peace. You want to give me some victory in this area, some insight into something I'm dealing with. Father, you want to give me joy, peace, comfort. Father, I want to thank you that we can come unto you just like we are, and we don't have to stay just like we are, because you'll change us for the better. With eyes closed and heads bowed, would you take a few moments and spend some time with Jesus? Heads bowed and eyes closed, please continue to pray this week for those that are in a lot of battles. We need the great physician. We need the great healer. We need the great comforter. All our springs are met in Jesus. I'm going to ask Brother Cameron if he'd close us out with a word of prayer.